Well, good morning, church. As for those of you who know me, you can tell I'm a little bit congested. I was actually sick for a few days, and Friday morning my fever broke, and I had initially asked Marcus to back me up and maybe speak for me this week. But Friday morning I started to feel a little better, and so I decided to give it a shot today. And there is another reason for me wanting to actually come and preach is this. After this, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. And some people are like, yay, some people are like, no, but it doesn't matter. I'm going anyway, yes, I'm going anyway. So, and after that, when I come back, it's my turn to go to the Warren Church to preach, so I didn't want to miss sharing my message with you for a month. And so I decided to give it a go this morning. One other factor that kind of made some significant impact in my decision making is that, by the grace of God, I've never been able to miss a preaching opportunity because I was sick, and I didn't want to break that trend. Hopefully in the future that trend still holds. And so I just wanted to give it a shot, and I'm thankful to be here this morning. And this Christmas season, I just wanted to present the Christ of Christmas. And today I want to share a message entitled, Because They Were Willing. Because They Were Willing. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Father, I pray that as I am here today and I feel significantly better in the sense that I know you have blessed me. And I did pray that, Lord, that if you want me to share that, you will help me to get better by Friday. And so I'm thankful for that. And Father, with that being said, preaching is not a mere man's, it's not done merely to the strengths of an individual, nor his or her talents or abilities or none of that. Ultimately, we ask for your spirit, Lord. I ask for your spirit, that you will grant me the words to speak and that you will be able to help me to preach your word. But may your Holy Spirit also bless your people here today. Grant them a heart of understanding, more importantly, as the message will indicate, grant us a spirit of willingness. Lord, would you bless us? And once again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present among us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. So, there was an Adventist pastor, and he received a phone call one day. And seemingly out of the blue, the woman on the phone says, Pastor, I just want to tell you, God is using you in ways that you do not know. And this woman sincerely thanks this pastor for what he was doing. And strangely enough, it was not the first time in recent events that he had received such positive affirmation. And from this conversation, the pastor's heart was filled with gratitude and awe that God was using a person like him. But he also began to wonder, God, why me? There are people more qualified, there are people more talented and so forth. He said, look, I'm probably one of the chief of sinners. Why me? And he felt unworthy of such accolades from this woman and other people alike. And he felt undeserving of the praise that he received. And he didn't fully understand why God was using a person like him. And the story goes that he calls out to God and said, God, why me? And the answer came immediately. The voice was not an audible voice where you would be able to hear, but clearly it was the voice of God speaking to him. And he heard the voice of God saying, because you are willing. You see, what God meant was that as imperfect as this man was, when God asked him to go, he went. When God asked him to sell, he sold. And when God asked him to give, he gave. And when God asked him to speak, he spoke. He had a willingness for God. And it wasn't so much his talents or gifts or resources or even his own estimation of his worthiness. But God simply used him because his pastor had a spirit of willingness. A willingness to follow, a willingness to go, willingness to serve, a willingness to give. He was willing. And I would say that more than God needing talented and skilled and just charismatic workers or volunteers or pastors or workers, God needs people that are simply willing. Now, I'm not discounting the truth, right? That's a different part of the equation because ultimately, what are you willing for, right? So we're assuming in this equation ultimately that you already know truth. But the question is, are you living truth? Are you willing to live the truth that you already know? As we look more closely at the Christmas story, we see an interesting pattern in a group of people that develops. Who are the people that welcomed Jesus when he was born? It was only those that were willing to follow, willing to go, willing to obey, willing to trust. I want to give you three examples. The first is found in Luke, and it was the shepherds. The Bible says that now they were in the same place, it's the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So it was when the angels had gone away from heaven, from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, he told them that a Savior was born, and the sign that the child Savior was born was that they would find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger of all places. When the shepherds heard this news, they were still willing to go. They could have dismissed it. They could have said, "No, that it can't be that our Savior would be born in a manger. No, that cannot be." But they were willing to believe. They were willing to go to Bethlehem. And when they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, they were willing to believe that this child, this lowly child, born of a carpenter's son, was the one, the Savior that had been promised. And think about how difficult it must have been just from the sight alone to believe that the Savior of the world was born to a family, a poor family like Joseph and Mary. And how unconvincing that sight was that this baby lying in a manger was the Savior of the world. And yet the shepherds, they were willing to go. And it didn't stop there. When they had heard the good news, when they had seen the Christ that had been born, they were willing to share the good news throughout the hillside. And the news spread all across the hillside that the shepherds were willing to share with others. The shepherds were willing to believe. They believed not only because of the angels, but the book, The Desire of Ages, states that these shepherds were familiar with the prophecies of the Messiah, and they understood that the time the time was near for the prophecies of the Messiah to be fulfilled. Do you see, they were students of the Word of God. It wasn't simply just because the angels had spoken, they believed the Word of God. They were willing to believe the Word of God. Are you willing to believe and follow and live the Word of God? The second group of people were the wise men, the Magi, the wise men, and I think most of you knew it wasn't just three. Perhaps there was three, but the Bible just says a group of wise men. And so whether there's five, three, it really doesn't matter. There was a few wise men there. And the wise men too, they too were willing. Did you know that ancient tradition states that the wise men had studied the prophecies of Balaam? You remember Balaam, right? He was it's found in the Old Testament, and he was once a prophet of the Lord, but later became a prophet for hire, and he was hired to curse God's people, but instead ended up blessing. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he prophesied for the Lord. Yeah, that guy, that rebellious prophet, he actually made a statement in Numbers 24:17, which is recorded in Numbers 24:17. He said, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab." I think I actually had that. Yes. Let's start over. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Seth." The wise men had studied the prophecy of Balaam, and this teaching had been passed down from century to century, and the wise men were students of the teachings of Balaam of all people. The book of Desire of Ages also states that the wise men knew of this prophecy, and eventually they had turned to the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, for more clarity, for more insight, and ultimately that led them to the prophecies of Messiah. It wasn't just a star. They had been studying the Word of God. They were willing to study. They were willing to follow. And eventually God sent them an angel with the brightness of a star to lead them to ultimately Bethlehem, and they were willing to follow. And when they arrived at Bethlehem, they were probably surprised that there was no fanfare, right? No guard station to protect this newborn king. None of the world's ambassadors and nobles one would expect to be there was there. Only a poor couple and their child. And once again, what an unconvincing sight that this child was the one, the newborn king. And think of how disappointing it would have been to expect a royal welcome or royal a entourage, but only seeing a poor family and perhaps some bleeding sheep and mooing of the cows, at least in my imagination. And yet these wise men were willing. They were willing to follow the star wherever it took them. They were willing to believe that this child was the one, the Savior of the world. And they were willing to give of their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were willing. The third group you are well familiar with, Mary and Joseph, Joseph and Mary. They too were willing. Matthew 1:20 says this, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" You see, Joseph was willing to marry Joseph was willing to marry Mary because of God's instruction, despite the fact that it had appeared that Mary had been unfaithful to him. After all, how likely is a story your espoused woman or man, a woman comes in and says, hey, yeah, I've been faithful, but I'm pregnant. How believable is that? But Joseph was willing to follow the instructions of God and to be the father of the son which would be born, that would be the savior to the world. And Mary was also willing to carry the child in the room. Can you imagine a young teenager who you know, you can take your scholarly guess and say how old she was, but she was young, definitely less than 20, like never been married. Now she has to carry a child. Imagine how scary and how daunting that would have been. And not just any child, the savior of the world. Yet Mary was willing to carry this child in her womb because she was willing to believe God and willing to trust him. And they were both willing to sacrifice for this child. They were willing to sacrifice for the Lord. They too are willing. In contrast, we see King Herod and all of Jerusalem. We can throw the Sadducees and the Pharisees in there. And the Bible says that King Herod and all the religious leaders of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were troubled at the news of the Savior's birth. For Herod, he was troubled at the news because it meant that he would have to give up his throne. At least that's what he thought. And he was unwilling to give it up. Rather, he would rather kill the Savior of the world and countless other innocent babies to preserve his throne. He was unwilling. As for the religious leaders, they too were troubled. And here's the even more troubling fact. They knew of the prophecies of Messiah. They knew. It wasn't a matter that they did not know. They knew. But the Bible says that even though they knew, they were troubled because of the news of the newborn king was born. Because one, it wasn't politically expedient for them. It was a political inconvenience. And it wasn't advantageous for them to go against King Herod. So they were unwilling to go to Bethlehem to investigate to see if the news was true. Matthew 2:3 says this, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Can you imagine? These wise men come and say, wait, where's the king that was born? Instead of celebrating, instead of like looking for him, instead of being excited about the news, they were troubled. And they were unwilling to even lift a finger to see if these things were true. They knew the truth, but they were unwilling to receive, unwilling to welcome, and they were unwilling to humble themselves. They were unwilling to surrender. And the conclusion of the matter is this. When Jesus comes the second time, which I believe he will come again soon, who will be the ones to welcome his return? It is not those, only those that merely know truth. Many people know truth, but not everyone is willing to follow and live the truth that they have. Are you willing? Do you have a willingness for God? Are you willing to go? Go if God says go. Are you willing to speak? Maybe you don't have the gift of gab, or you coming up here makes you nervous, or like teaching is daunting to you. If God says teach, are you willing to teach? If God says speak, are you willing to speak? Are you willing to use your talents? Are you willing to glorify God and not of yourself? Do you have a willingness to obey? Are you willing to believe? Are you willing to give of yourself for him? Church, God does use your talents and mine, our resources, our time, and all that. But it's not merely these things that qualify us to be God's instruments. We see that in the example of the Christmas, of the scene of the birth of Christ. These are the things that God has given to us talents and abilities, but what he needs foremost is our willingness. Are you willing? It is only those who are willing that welcome Jesus and receive the birth of the Savior, similarly at the second coming, it is only those who are willing to give of themselves, of yourself and myself, those are the individuals that ultimately will welcome Jesus as our Savior once again. My prayer for us is this, that if you are not willing, that we would pray that God would make us to be willing. Ultimately, that each one of us will be like the shepherds and the Magi and Mary and Joseph, that we would have a spirit of willingness to follow God no matter what. May the Lord bless you this morning. God bless you.